Hi, everybody. I'm Annie of Annie Asks with Well Read Magazine. And I hope I said it right today. Asks. I always laugh at that. So today I invited Mike Eberhardt, who uses the name Champ Westwood for his audible narration endeavors and other things that we're going to learn about when we speak further with him.
Oh, yes. Southbound, the racing one.
Southbound. Yes. Yes. I love that.
It's a great story, that one.
Right. Is that a true story?
It is based loosely on the author's own experience. So he's taken some professional liberties, but it is based on his real experience.
You have a voiceover studio that was founded in 2018.
I do, yes.
In suburban Los Angeles, although I really love where you really live, but we won't go there. But it's really kind of sounds like Kuchabunka or
it does
kombucha.
Sound like
that drink kombucha.
It sounds like kombucha.
I don't know.
Where
but
do
that,
I live in kombucha, you know.
That drink, But I mean, you can find him on, his voice is on television, radio, internet, Audible, Amazon, Apple iTunes, Barnes & Nobles, and anywhere audiobooks are sold. He really does work with Panda Moon Publishing, as well as a bunch of different publishers of his choice when he wants to take on a project. But I met him when he was working with Panda Moon and fell in love with his voice because he can do like 180 or is it like 225? What is it?
Like the number of characters I can do?
Yes.
I don't know the max range. The most I've ever done in a book is 81 unique characters. And the book I'm currently narrating, I did 14 unique characters with 5 unique accents in one chapter.
That's amazing. Crazy. But it's stunning. And how you do all of this work. I wanted to ask you, what got you into this in the first place?
Ooh, that's a great question and something that no one ever has asked me.
Really. I never asked.
That's so funny.
I've grown.
You know, what actually got me into this was a tabletop RPG game called Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know if you've ever heard of the game or played the game, but
I've heard of the game and I do like this listening to the stories you made because I'm a storyteller.
Yes. So I was the person I played the dungeon master. So I was the person that created the stories and then acted them out for the players. And so I did this with a group of friends way back in high school, college time. And I would do different voices for all the characters. And that's where I started doing character voices. And I'd always wanted to get into this line of work. It's very difficult to crack into. And so I actually started with commercials, started doing commercial voiceover and then getting into fiction books, like nonfiction books, pardon me, because I didn't need characters or accents. I wasn't sure I was any good at it. And so I did those types of things to kind of build up my confidence, build up my contacts. And then over time, I would practice. And I swear, Annie, the first couple of books that I did as an audiobook, I sent them, I'm still friends with this group that I play Dungeons & Dragons with, and they would call me and leave me voicemails and go, you know, this one character in this book sounds a lot like the mayor of a town that we, you know, liberated from the dragons, or this villain reminds me of this evil pirate captain we all killed back in 1993, you know, because you rely on what you can do, what you've done. And so, creating these voices in Dungeons & Dragons, and it's kind of carried over that kind of fun adventure creation part where you just kind of go for it and see what comes out.
I think it's great. And you like catalog the characters and how I loved when you told me that you cataloged the way you did the characters' voices, because sometimes you'd have to do one at 4 o'clock in the morning because your voice was gruff. So sometimes you put a marble in your mouth.
I do so many insane things, Annie. It's crazy. But I do catalog each character voice because you never know. I'm a weirdo. I don't read the book ahead of time. I read it while I'm going. So I'll read the night before what I'm going to record the next day to keep the emotions fresh and to make sure I don't spoil the ending for myself. I want to be surprised by the twists in the book, and I want you to hear it in my voice. So I don't know if a character's coming back or not. So I'll create a character in chapter 3 and maybe I don't see that character again until chapter 50. And by the time I get there, I don't remember who they are, what they did, or why they did. So I always make sure and go in and say, okay, Mike, here's what you did. It's this time of day. Here's what you have in your mouth or not. Here's an actress or actor you're thinking of. Here's the accent work. Here's physically where you're placing it. And then I'll read a few lines that way so that I can hear it. And then later, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. One time you said, and where your tongue is.
But you know, what's funny. Tongue placement is really important. It changes your sound. Whether it's up at the top or if it's down the bottom or if you have it on your cheek or, if, you know, it changes your vocal production by how it resonates and can just affect you. So, yeah. So I do crazy things with my mouth while I'm recording. Thank goodness they don't film me. That's amazing.
Well, I have, it's funny. You have like this talent with your voice and I have vocal cord dysfunction and angioedema. So like, you know, when I just had an evaluation for one thing, they said, oh yeah, something's wrong with that girl's voice. Like it's like,
oh my gosh, no way.
Yeah. Like it's all over the place, but it was well noted, but anyway, it's so much fun to go to his page, Super Fun Studios, or his website, because you can fall like down a rabbit hole. Because isn't that where all of your
everything is there? Pretty yes, much. Everything yes, that I can get a hold of. So all my audiobooks are there. A few of my commercials are there. My commercial demo reel is there.
Yes, it's the demo reel.
Some of the work I've done for like corporate work, you know, where you're, you know, I do a lot of kinds of different voiceover work. And so,
well,
yeah,
some
it's all
of them I died. I'm like, wait a second. I went to McDonald's for that after that commercial.
Like, I've seen that talking trash can in a cartoon once. That's me.
That's just great. It sounds Thank like you. A really fun job. I can't get enough of it. Before we get into the Proust interview,
yeah,
I wanted you to, if you wouldn't mind, do a reading for us. So that we can understand and watch as a professional narrator.
Well, the pressure's on now. So for those who don't know, so I'll introduce the book first. So it's Code Gray. It's this book right here, written by Benny Sims. I love this book. It's such
That's a great cover.
Thank you. It won a Best Mystery of Killer Nashville 2021. And I do... gosh, I want to say somewhere in the mid 50s, early 60s in terms of characters, how many characters are in this book. So Annie had some clips we tried to upload so you guys could hear me in the studio and hear all that. But instead, we're going to do a live reading because the clips didn't work. So this is me reading cold. I have not read or listened to this book in a year. So here we go. It's going to be exciting.
Please.
The setup of this book is there's a main detective works for the FBI named Bodie. He's a star detective. He's fantastic at what he does. And in this scene, he's there with a young buck, a guy fresh out of the academy named Tony, who will eventually become his partner. His chief is there. And they are at a murder scene of a famous radio host. A radio host has been assassinated. And this is their first on the scene. And I chose it because it's interesting about the scene work. But also there's, you know, four or five characters you'll get to hear all at once. And you can see my crazy faces that I make when I do these characters. It'll be
I
fun.
Know. So
this is Code Gray. Written by Benny Sims. Here we go.
Shot once in the back of the head, Cap said. I bet he didn't feel a thing, Bodie said.
Looks to me like somebody walked up and popped him with a 9mm, said the shorter of the other two men.
His name was Tony Girardi, and that's about all Bodie knew about him. Other than the fact that he was a recent graduate of the academy and probably got to the crime scene well ahead of any other detectives so he could make a good impression. Tony was also getting the reputation of being a bit of a hothead.
What makes you think they used a 9mm? Asked Cap.
Well, that's what everybody uses nowadays, Cap. They all want to be Dirty Harry or something, Tony said.
Dirty Harry? Asked Bodie. He used a .44 Magnum, didn't he? How old are you anyway, kid?
Tony didn't answer.
Hey, I'm not dirty. I took a shower a few days ago. I'm sure of it, Harry cracked.
It was a bad joke, typical of his sense of humor.
Cap looked at Harry and shook his head. Good God. We're standing here looking at one of the most famous people in the country, who just happens to have a bullet hole in his head, and you clowns are making jokes. Get on this, Bodie. Tony, you help him. Harry, I want you to go home. Why are you even here anyway? I never called you.
Ah, Cap, come on. I ain't worked but 12 hours today, Harry said.
Go home, Harry. You probably need a shower anyway.
Harry pulled his hands from his pockets, shrugged, straightened his tie, and ambled away.
See you guys later, he called over his shoulder.
Cap turned his attention to Bodie and Tony.
Go ahead and get started, he said. Find any witnesses. Look for a security video. Find out if this guy had any enemies.
He turned to walk away, then paused.
Let me know as soon as you find out anything.
Will do,
Bodie said as Cap headed toward a cluster of uniformed policemen.
So, what do you think? A 9mm in the back of the head? Asked Tony.
Actually, right now I'm less concerned about what was used than I am about who used it and why, Bodie said without looking up.
He leaned forward with his hands on his knees, staring through the windshield at the dead talk radio star.
I'm sure the lab guys will let us know what weapon was used soon enough.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was just, you know, guessing, Tony said.
This guy was a talk radio host. He had lots of enemies, Bodie said, straightening up. The way I understand it, he pissed off a lot of people. So maybe he pissed off the wrong person.
Wasn't he an addict or something? Maybe it was a drug deal gone bad, said Tony.
Well, maybe. But I don't think he'd try to buy drugs on the top level of the place where he parked his car every day, where everybody would know who he was. Besides, people like him don't do their own dirty work. They have somebody do it for them.
Well, yeah, I thought about that too, Tony said.
Uh-huh, Bodie grunted,
never looking up as he continued to look for clues. That seems like a good place to stop.
I love that. It's so interesting. And the way you do it is so fascinating.
Thanks.
The way you can go in and out with the, even with the narration, with the dialogue.
Oh,
where
yeah.
They say, Tony said, he said, she, it's like, whoa, how can he do all of that? But I do want to tell everybody about, there's one in particular that I have not read that it's, or listened to, that's hysterical at the beginning. It's about a gambler, and I think he's a drinker too. And I did listen to a lot of it, just not the whole thing. He like goes to the racetrack and he's like straight. It sounds like an announcer at the racetrack, and you feel like you can hear the hooves of the horses running, even though you don't. You just feel like it because you have created such an ambiance of that setting that you hear that. And it's that's the best piece of work I've ever heard on an Audible, ever.
Wow, thank you. Ever. I put a lot of work into that. Thank
you. You're welcome. Oh, it's so wonderful. But she can also delete that. But I was so surprised when you told me, oh no, I was the announcer too. I was like, what? Like, and I went back and listened to it again. And I was like, it's just so shocking to me, which is wonderful.
Thank you.
But on that even one, when you do your other pieces, that again, I listened to half of it, but it's like, I'm sorry. It's hard for me to listen to whole things because I have so many things to read.
Oh, of course. Like, I can't even imagine.
I remember I used to read a book a day.
Wow.
I miss those days. And I'd interview that author at night.
Oh,
and
my gosh. Wow.
That's how I found you. But anyway, it's all Champ Westwood is fabulous. But if you look up Mike Eberhart, it'll tell you. I didn't know that narrators... It'll populate a list on Audible.
It will. If you type
wherever you are, Walmart, wherever you are.
Yes.
Or anything that they narrate. And you're on other things like nonfiction things as well that I didn't include on here. Okay. So let's get started with the Proust interview.
All right.
So the reason it's so cool. So the reason why I do this Proust interview is I was addicted to Vanity Fair because my friend, Amory Nieves, always got that for me for Christmas because that's what I wanted. And then this year I said, oh, no, it's okay. I don't need the magazine. Well, I was dying for the magazine, so I had to subscribe to it. And it really was one of – has great articles, but I loved reading these Proust interviews because if you're a writer, it really teaches you a lot about how to build a character. Even with their answers, you can mix it. You just get thoughts that you don't think about. But the whole reason that he put these 35 questions together in the 1890s was so that people could learn about each other's character. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for character. Like, I can't stand when somebody attacks my character. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And some people are like that. And some people are like, I don't care. Everybody has their different thing. I call myself a soapbox person. Which we all know I am. So if you know me well enough. So I do this. Annie asks for Well Read Magazine, which is owned and operated by Mandy Haynes, because I wanted to keep interviewing and having some help because of my illness. Yeah. So this is the perfect way to do it. And I thank you for joining me today to be a guest because I was interviewing only authors. And then I said, wait a second. There's so many people in the industry.
It's true.
I have to mix it up, you know, like alphabet soup. So, and you know, you're the first that comes to mind for me when it comes to narrators.
Thank you.
We had that Hearing Voices show, which was so much fun.
Yes, we've done so many things together.
Oh, yeah. That's, we've always had a blast. And people love us together, too.
They do. We're fun.
But this, we're super fun. Like Super Fun Studios.
Yeah. We're super fun. And there we go.
So what I, super fun. That's funny. Okay. So it was very hard to choose 10 questions for you.
I bet.
There's 35.
Wow.
But I chose 10. Now you can say pass if you don't have an answer. Okay, but try to tell us why you're giving us the answer.
Of course.
If you can.
You got it.
Like, don't say blue, but say blue because I love the color of the sky or I love a blue thunderbird or whatever.
Yes, it makes me feel this way.
We want to know who you are. And the other reason why I like doing this is, you know, I started interviewing authors because I believed that, because it started with authors, I believe that if somebody finds an interest in an author, likes their laugh, likes what they do, oh my God, they're into Yorkies too. Oh my, you start to follow them.
That's true.
And then you know every single book they have come out. And things don't get lost in translation.
Yes,
so
that's
I think
true.
It creates.
I said that's true. You're absolutely right.
It is. So that's why I thought this would be good to keep doing something like this. So fine, I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
This is a tough one.
Okay.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Perfect happiness. I think that would be sharing a life with someone, maybe that could be a significant other, it could be friends, it could be pets, a life where you do not have a lot of stresses, where your daily needs are met, where you're in low pain, where you have some hobbies that you like to pursue and can find enjoyment of, in an area that you enjoy being out in, where you can look at the sights, you know, see the sky, meet your neighbors, talk to people, enjoy the weather. I think it's just really simple for me. I like to keep it small and just have, I'm a homebody type person. So for me, perfect happiness is sharing a nice little home life in a town that you like with people you love, doing things you enjoy, eating good food, drinking good drinks, and just enjoying the human connection and the experience of being in the world together at that precise moment. Because There's a lot of things going on that aren't great, but there's always something you can focus on that is great. And for me, in my daily life, I strive to focus on those things. And so perfect happiness for me would be a life that enabled that full time.
Well, I remember when COVID first started, you know, I'd call you and you'd be making espresso and, you know, decaffeinated.
Right. Imagine this on caffeine. Not great. Not a good idea.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's so funny. But like, I looked up the coffee shop next to you.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Hospital, because we were like, what are we going to get them? And then like, they didn't have a box that we really wanted for you, and they made it or something like that.
That was so sweet.
You live in a wonderful place. So
thank you.
I keep seeing your dog, Daphne, in the background.
Yeah, she keeps moving around.
Is that okay that I said people's name or that I gave away
a
name?
For sure. Yeah, of course.
I didn't want
to.
Yeah. Okay,
no, you're sweet to ask. I'm not hiding in your name. It's all good.
Awesome.
If you
want
to reach out and stalk me, come get me.
He's so cute. Or is she a girl or a boy?
It's a girl and she's adorable.
Oh, she's so cute.
Thank you.
Okay. Which living person? And I want to say, if you need a roommate, if I'm still around in 20 years, let me know.
Perfect. Perfect.
I always love to have. I always love to have that person that, like, if you're alone.
Yes.
In like your 80s, like, who are you going to go live with?
Yeah, please come live with me, watch TV shows with me, and have M&Ms and, like, you know, bake cinnamon rolls and crap.
We'll watch the Golden Girls.
Yeah, I'm all about that. Yeah, we can analyze each one, see how it holds
learn
up.
Learn Dungeons and Dragons. Okay, so which living person do you most admire?
Ooh.
I like to ask that question. A lot of people ask dead person.
Oh, yeah, sure. But, like, living person. I'm going to have to think about that for a moment. Do you mind?
Oh, no. You're supposed to have to. This is supposed to make you have to go,
It makes me have to think. That's good. Hey, stop that.
I like it.
Sorry. I had to discipline the dog there real quick. She just had surgery last week, so she has to wear the cone of shame, but I don't like her in it because she sulks a lot. And so I have to keep an eye on her, make sure she's not licking her stitches. And so I'm just keeping an eye.
Oh, you're such a good dad. The little donut, though, isn't too bad. Instead of the cone.
I tried that, but her neck is so long. She just reaches right around. She I got her one, but she reaches right around her giant neck.
And that's not that bad on them. It doesn't drive them as crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm still trying to think of a living person who I most admire.
Do you want to come back to it?
Yeah, maybe I'll pass on that one. Do you mind if we pass and I'll come back? Or not come back to school?
Well, you can pass and then say, oh, I want to come back. But, I mean, you know the answer is me. So that's the problem.
Oh, you're right. I should have just said you. What am I thinking? Of course the answer is you. Let me try again. My answer is Annie. Try to do that with a
Yeah, edit place. Up to edit. Edit everything, me Mandy, up answer. Until my answer is Annie.
Right? I'll do it again. You ready? Here we go. Make it real easy. Here we go. And...
Okay.
I think the living person I most admire
what is
your Annie
favorite?
McDonald. It's Annie. She's incredible. she dresses like a doll for my interviews. She goes through all kinds of physical trauma to get here, keeps a positive spirit, does what she loves. What's not to admire? There we go. We can put that in, and everybody watching the interview is we're done with this interview. He's just sucking up this whole time. Let's just
They're crazy. Well, That's true. So but you know what? You're like the male me.
Oh, that's such a compliment. Thank you.
We don't do the same exact things, but we're both like we have health issues, but we still happy, and have our dogs.
We try to steer the boat towards what we love and try to ignore the choppy waves of the ocean.
That's so funny that you say that because I say how people can't leave me floundering in the ocean because I'm going to drown. I need people to teach me how to surf so I can be on top of the ocean. I mean, that's just so weird that you just said that. We have like the same quote.
I do have
the same
ESPN.
ESPN.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm psychic too, so watch out. No, I have good intuition. I have very good intuition. Okay. Let's see. One question which I have never asked anybody, which I'm not going to ask you, though. On what occasion do you lie? I did ask one person that, but I don't like that one.
I have an answer for that one. I can answer that one.
What quality? Okay, do you want to answer it?
Sure.
Do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, I'll answer that one, absolutely.
Okay, well, tell us.
Okay, do you want to re-ask it or do you want me just to go?
Yeah, we'll re-ask it.
Okay.
Mike Eberhardt, on what occasion would you lie?
That's a great question. So in my life, I tend to lie to make other people comfortable. So having physical challenges, I'm reluctant to say how much pain I'm in or if I'm super dizzy that day or what's going on, because I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable and I don't want to drag the mood down and their issues for me to work on, not them. And so I typically will lie and say I'm doing better than I'm doing.
That's a good point. That's interesting. I took a trip to a friend's house and like 50,000 mm-hmm. things were wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't want my disability to be like the center of attention.
Yes.
So absolutely. I made up this thing that if I go to people's houses, they have to read it and sign it like a contract. That when we go somewhere and they have to get out my walker, they just need to get out the walker and hand it to me and let's keep going. Don't say, do you need your walker? But it's only right there. Right. It doesn't need to be an interruption.
Yep.
It's just part of your normal life.
Yeah, it's just part of the daily routine. This is how it goes. Not a big production.
Everything's fine. This is just how
it is every day. You know, it's just every day and this is how it is.
Right. Yeah. I love that. What is the quality you most like in a woman?
Ooh, now is this a romantic? I guess any woman.
You can say it however you want to say it. But we've discussed this a lot, so I thought it would be a good answer. Because she's looking for your girlfriend.
Right, yeah. Still looking, so keep your eyes on. So for me, I would say the ability to be in the present moment, whatever that is. So if we're out to dinner, if we're at a park, or we're having an interview, we're talking about a book over macaroni, whatever it is, to be able to be fully present, not check your phone, not worry about work stresses or what's happening next or where is this going or what's happening, just... wow, this is really good baked ziti. Let's talk about it. Or, it's so humid and hot today. I haven't experienced this in a while. What are your, I just want to be here right now with that person. And so somebody who has that ability to do it, I really admire that and strive to be like that more and more.
That's very nice. Because I do know some girls that have had crushes on you.
Well, please but I don't think tell they them were to like call that. Me. It's been a long pandemic, Annie. Can you help me out?
It has been a long pandemic.
That's so funny.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, when and where were you happiest?
Wow, that's a great question.
Yeah, it's like me. Like, I was two. I lived.
That's so funny.
No, it would be the day I met my husband.
Oh, nice.
Our first date, our wedding, our honeymoon.
That's such an awesome time. I'd probably pick a similar time, like in the early 2000s when I was newly married, working full time, putting myself through school, had stopped performing and was trying to like, quote, make it. And, buying my first house and all those things. That was probably the happiest time for me right there in the early 2000s. Maybe 2002, my favorite baseball team won the World Series that year. I bought a house that year. That's the year I bought my house. My team won the World Series. I think I got my first big screen TV. Like all the fun, like a lot of fun things were happening. Started back in school, which is something I never thought.
You love that word fun.
I do love that word fun. I like to have fun. But yeah, I would pick that early 2000s.
Right. Probably my happiest time. Fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2002. I'll pick that year.
Yeah, and that's a lot of like the same things that I like. That's really cool. It sounds like a great time, and I'm glad you had it. But you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again. In a different way. And if you're interested in Mike, swipe left. I don't know where it's swipe right. Yes,
to me, send Annie an email, let her know. She'll screen it to make sure you're the right type of person and then forward it over. Making you the matchmaker. Annie's the matchmaker.
I am. I always was in high school. Okay.
My track record indicates I don't choose wisely, so I'm going to let you choose.
I could choose someone really, really perfect. So let me think about this. I do know a lot of single people, so many single people since the pandemic.
Wow. I believe it. It's tough because who wants to go out and date? Like, I want to go eat in a restaurant or go to a movie, and you can't say, come watch movies at my house. That sounds bad. So there's like, I guess go out to dinner outside, go for a walk in the park, I guess.
Come over my house.
Come on over. You're going to have a good time. They're like, weirdo, boom, delete.
Yeah, but and we're not going to wear masks.
Oh, yeah, no masks. Or maybe that is the thing. We're going to put on a comedian and wear masks, like purple masks, no, clean the floors, and have some ice cream. That sounds like a fun day.
Well, you know what's funny? You know what's funny, too?
What?
In my infusion suite, we don't have to wear masks, like, as of 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and wow, really?
A lot of us didn't know each other, and we were all like, that is not how I thought you were going to look.
Oh, my gosh, because for 2 years, how long has it been like this, and you can't see their face?
We all wore masks, so nobody knew what each other, like, we knew what each other's eyes looked like. But when you see someone's whole face, so, like, I never knew the nurse Nicolette, ever. She would say, Annie, I'm Nicolette. And I'd say, look, I don't know because you don't have your mask on.
It does drastically change people's appearances, though. It's so
Yeah. So, like, you can't date when people are not wearing their masks.
No.
When they're wearing their masks. I'm just kidding. Okay. That's funny. What would you consider your greatest achievement?
My greatest achievement. There's just so many to pick. No, I'm just kidding. I think for me, this will probably be a small thing for a lot of people, but for me, it's
graduating.
I'm going to
say what I think it is. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what you say after mine. So for me, I want you to pick my greatest achievement. So for me, it's putting myself through college in my early 30s and graduating magna cum laude. I grew up and went to a performing arts school. I was a singer dancer. I went and did shows, you know, and tours and cruise ships and Disney, you name it. So I never thought I'd get to go back to school. And when I got married, I had to settle down and get a real career. And so I taught myself computers and got computer certification, but I thought college would be out of reach. Luckily, I worked at a company that would pay for college. So I went back and went to college while I worked there, got my degree in 2.5 years. And I never thought I would live in a world where I had a bachelor's degree. And so I'm super proud of that achievement. I live in a post-collegiate world. And for a lot of people, it's a small thing. But for me, you know, I had a rough childhood. I was not, you know, taken to college or shown a roadmap of how to do things or any kind of support at all. And so to be able to go back in my early 30s and do it was huge for my self-esteem. And I'm just so grateful I did it. Every day I look at that diploma. It's in my voiceover studio. I see it every day I look at the computer. And I'm always like, wow, I really did that. And it's been a long time.
Congratulations. You should be very proud of that.
Thank you.
Hugely proud. You're welcome. You said something while you... What I thought was going to be...
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I thought it was going to be when you had to recover from a severe disability.
That was very close.
On your own because, you know, you had to do it on your own. And you did it.
Yeah, I did. I did 150 physical therapy sessions so I could walk again. I had torn 6 tendons and I was bedbound for 3 years, couldn't stand for more than 10 minutes. And today I don't need to walk with crutches. I can walk a solid 20, 25 minutes, you know, take my dog out, go to the grocery store, all the normal things that, you know, a person does.
You can even call while you're walking.
I can. I do it.
I know.
So I am proud that is a big achievement too. I wasn't sure about bringing that into the interview. People want to hear that kind of thing. So I was like, oh, I also don't want anybody to be like, oh, the disabled guy is using his disability to pitch his audio.
No. That's not true in today's society because like me, I got to like number 2 on the disabled authors list, but like you're up against, you know, Olympians because they're all disabled. They've thrown their body all over the place, but
that's true.
It's such a, it's such like a voodoo thing, like not voodoo. It's such a don't talk about this.
Yeah, like a taboo.
And I think it's important that you do, and it's important that you show people that they can do work still.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not what they used to do.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I think it's a huge compliment to you, and I think it's a huge compliment to somebody who's listening that says, oh, wait a minute, I didn't realize. Because it happened to me. I was getting my infusion, and a girl read my book, and she drove from California in a car with her dog to go see my doctor.
Wow.
Because she thought she had stiff person
that is
syndrome.
Incredible.
And she did.
Wow, Annie, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I said, okay, that's it. Just throw away the rest of the books.
Because right?
You always say, if I could change one life, you do mean it when you say that.
You do.
But then when it happens, you say, oh, wait, I want to change more.
It's like I was just doing my thing, and then here it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool, though. What is your most treasured possession?
Yeah, if there's a big fire in my house, what would I go to save first? You know, honestly, probably my, I have, every time I do an audiobook, I ask the author to sign it and send me a physical copy. And so I have physical copies of every audiobook I've done signed by the authors around my house. And I would probably grab a duffel bag and throw them all in there. That's probably my most prized possession, is the physical representation of my art acknowledged and enjoyed by the original creator of the art. I would say that.
You are Frasier.
Huh.
He had all of the cassettes of his radio.
Oh my gosh, no way.
In like a sweater closet. And one was like turned upside down and a like an Oreo Speedwagon cassette was put in there. He had a heart attack. But anyway, that's funny. And then you have a dog named Daphne. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Right. That is the same thing.
That's really interesting. I think you need to get a fire safety thing to put them in. Because you live in California, dude.
You right. know, we do
you guys are like
fires.
Drowning or going in a fire or something. I'm sorry. It's just California scares the living daylights out of me.
It's a big place. So lots of things happen here.
Well, I didn't realize how bad the wildfire thing was because we never experienced that here. So we were all saying, oh, my gosh. This happens to people in California all the time.
It does.
Okay. Oh, boy.
You got a heavy one? You got some heavy lifting over there.
Yeah. Who are your favorite writers?
Ooh. I'm not going to name anybody that I've worked with because I've worked with lots and some of them are really amazing and I really admire their work. Some of them, I really love them as people. So from people that I don't know, some of my favorite writers, I love Stephen King. I think some Stephen King, which you wouldn't think by talking to me because I'm so like, hey, everybody, I'm a happy dude. But Stephen King's really interesting to me. That horror writing is really interesting. I think he comes up with a lot of interesting premises and everything's very accessible. I also like an author named Tom Robbins, who's a little less accessible, more literary, but very witty, a lot of fun, satirical things, Common Sense Society. Those two probably I would name as my favorites.
Well, that's very smart because that's like what I know Stephen King is a huge teacher to writers.
Is he? I don't
what
follow him as a person.
She
I just
has.
Isn't she pretty? She's so
oh yeah, he has. I have his book. It's called On Writing or something like that. She was just standing back there in like the perfect like Greyhound pose. Very, very cute. She's like, I'm going to be in Daddy's photo, whether he
right. She's like, I want to be on this show. Let's do this show together. Come on.
I want to be famous. All right. So I think that's 8. What is your greatest regret?
Ooh, my greatest regret.
Don't forget you can pass.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'll think of one that's not too heavy because everybody has lots of them, right?
All right.
I think as an artist, my greatest regret is that I didn't start sooner. Doing audiobooks and audio related work is something I've always wanted to do. And I did some commercials back in like, 2009, 2010, and some stuff. But then I got really sick and then couldn't do it. So then I started in earnest in 2018. But I wish I had started way back when I was doing cruise ships and tours and things back in the late 90s. It would have been a lot easier to break in. I would be such a better storyteller because I would have all those years of experience under my belt. I can only imagine the depth and what I could be bringing to the table with an additional 10 years, 15 years experience.
So I
wish that I had the self-belief to start earlier and to not listen to other people about it or get discouraged. And so anyone out there who's thinking about trying their dream out, go give it a shot right now because you'll never be younger. It'll never be easier than today.
That just left me like, that's a great quote.
Thank you.
We're writing that down. And I'm going to make a pretty graphic with that. And put your name. That was really, really nice.
Thank you.
So that was actually only 7 because of the pass. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry.
8. You're good. I'm the one who passed.
Yeah, but I do like when people pass.
You're like,
pass. So my husband gave me one yellow light.
Okay.
Now, this is not from Proust. This is extra.
Sure, this is extra
because it's very good.
Okay.
Yellow light. Speed up or slow down?
Ooh.
That's just such a fun question.
That's a great question. I think I'm typically a speed up person. Typically I'm a speed up person.
I don't drive anymore, but I'm a press on the brakes trying to stop. Because like I got one of those drive-by video tickets.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, like the camera.
When I was trying to stop in the stupid rain.
Oh.
So like I slid through. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
You know, yeah. So it was like, if I see it turn yellow at all, it's like, oh, I'm stopped. But then the person behind me is going to rear end me. I'm in New York, for goodness sakes.
That is
true. I don't drive anymore anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I love that question.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I did.
It gives you instant insight.
I did rapid fire questions.
Oh my gosh, you're so fun. You should do
that. That was fun.
That's a good one.
Okay, I'll ask you this last then. What is your motto?
I think my motto is fight, fight, fight. Which sounds like I'm a negative combative person, but I don't mean it like that. There's a lot of struggles that we as humans face day to day. And you have to fight your way through that and through the emotions that come along with that. And sometimes against social expectations, obligations, duties, that kind of thing. And so for me, I think of it, I'm always fighting for peace in my mind, for well-being in my body, for the people that I love, for the projects that I'm passionate about. I feel like you have to carve out space for all of those things amongst all the noise and distractions of life. You have to fight for what you want, for what you believe in, and what you're capable of. And so I think fight, fight, fight.
Right. That's so true. And also, you know, you have to have fight in you to sometimes get through the day, some people in life. So like, that's good. That's I like quotes and that's so many different people universally can use.
Absolutely.
And so that's a perfect one.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I ask you an extra question?
You can ask me 10,000 extra questions. I could sit here all day with you on video and chit chat. What do you got?
Thank you. What excites you?
Ooh, that excited me because I like to talk about things that I like. I like to do, for me, I get excited when I get to do collaborative things. So whether it's playing video games with friends, we're all together on the same team, we're going to go fight the dragon, or like Dungeons and Dragons, where we're all doing this joint story together, or like this interview where we're talking and having this relationship, this communication back and forth. I get passionate, excited to work with other people and to talk with them and see what makes them tick and what's going on in your head and what are we doing today? We're making cookies today. Okay, well, what are we doing and why are we doing? You know, I like that. That gets me passionate. Like stuff we can do together, whatever that is.
You are very easygoing when it comes to working with everything we ever did together was always just very smooth. And,
thank you.
You know, not a lot of, like, I don't know, everything just went really well. And, you know, you're very calm. You're a calm person.
I am. I try to recognize that everyone is trying their best. Like, I try not to take anything personally. Like, I think I try to approach it that everyone has the best intentions. Everyone wants to have a successful project. Everyone wants to have a good show. And so I try not to get bent out of shape when dates get moved or things are late or this paragraph is wrong or I didn't like your character here or whatever it is, because I understand that at the end of the day, we're all trying our best and want to be the best and show up for each other. And so at least professionally speaking, with shows and stuff, I try to stay very laid back, very calm, easy. I try not to drag the ego into it because, you know, it's not about me being the best narrator in the world. It's about me getting the emotions and the content across that you intended as an author or as an artist. Or in this case, we're doing the show and you want to put on a good show and ask good questions and be friendly and give the audience something fun to look at. And when we start or how long it goes or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're here for a purpose. And so I try to keep that in mind and to keep the ego low and to focus on the work and the experience. And so thank you. That's a nice compliment that that's coming across because it's definitely a concern.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. But it's very true. Why do you think I keep coming back to the well?
I do tend to work with the same people over and over again because we always develop a good working relationship and rapport. And it's fascinating. It's fun.
We definitely do. And we always think of something new. And you always say, okay, or I say, okay. So I really appreciate you speaking with us today. At again, Well Read Magazine for the Annie Asks column. I have such trouble saying that. I hope I always get so scared that it doesn't sound right. Please edit that out because I say that every single time because it was Annie's Antics. Oh, but now yes, I'm going back to doing those interviews, so we changed it. You can edit that out. Hey, Mandy. She's moving right now.
What's up, girl? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Moving is the worst.
Florida to Alabama.
Okay.
And living on a farm in a barn dominium.
Oh, cool. That sounds fun. I think I saw that interview with you and Mandy in the barn dominium. The barn looked cool.
It's crazy. But yep, that's what she's doing. It's a great accent, too. All right. Well, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. I'm going to end the recording now, and we will be in touch. Oh, wait. Hold on.
We got a second instance of you. This is exciting. That went away.
I'm sorry about that. Thanks for hanging on. I wanted to ask, what if somebody was going to want to listen to one of your audibles, which I'm sure is going to happen.
Yay.
What are the first three you would recommend they get?
Perfect. So depending on what genre they like. So for a thriller, I would recommend Code Gray, which is a really great political FBI procedural thriller. Really fun book. The second book
I would recommend. The one you just read.
Yeah, the one I just read from. The second one I'd recommend is when you actually talked about Southbound, the horse racing book, which is more of like a fictionalized gambling, person with a gambling problem, announcer, horse races. It's really fun, really exciting. Also some heavier topic in there. And then my third one I would pick is Project 137, which was one of the earlier books that I did. Really great sci-fi story, shocking kind of mystery ghost story, horror story. Not in a gory way, but more in a like, in that book, you don't know which characters are safe to trust because anybody could betray anybody at any time, which is really fun. And it has some of my favorite characters that I've ever created in that book. So those three I would pick: Code Gray, Southbound, and Project 137.
I can't believe some people read the whole story and then they narrate it, because it's almost like now you're creating the ending sound.
Yes.
Right? So it loses something.
It's tough because as an actor, you want to understand the characters completely. And so I think the thought is when you do a play or a musical or something, you read the whole script, so you understand the character and everything they're going to do, their motivation, blah, blah, blah. And so they want that same effect in a book, which I totally understand. But for me, it's too much information and I don't want to reveal anything or telegraph anything.
I think the way you do it is great.
Thanks. Thank you.
Well, I love it. And I will say, after you had told me that you were doing stuff like that, I always read the whole book when I interviewed authors. When I interviewed thriller authors, I didn't read the end.
Oh my gosh,
when
no
I
way.
Interviewed them. So that I became like this. And then they went to bed, and then they did this, and they were running down the street. Like, what's gonna happen?
Oh
like,
my gosh,
you know,
I
like
love
I
it.
Had this genuine excitement about the end of the book. And I realized
yes.
it changed the whole atmosphere of the interview. So yes. Thank you for that. I never told you.
I'm so glad.
But, you know, I don't make any money, so you don't get anything.
but if I change one life with my method, no, I'm just kidding. That's fun. That's great that I held on, though. That's awesome.
You can stop everything now. That's great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mike. And I hope that you have a wonderful night. And thank please you, keep Annie. In touch, okay?
It was such a pleasure. Right. Thank you for having me today. And of course, we'll keep in touch. We'll talk soon.
Okay, wonderful. To get in touch with Mike Eberhardt, you can find him at www.superfunstudios.com. Write down this Audible link. I made a nice short one for you. bit.ly/3R, capital L, capital Z, capital E, 6, capital C. And it'll take you right to all of his Audibles. And there's a bunch of them. And it's fun. And then you can, like, if you star them, they'll tell you when they're on sale and everything. So
there you go. That's the way to go. And you can listen to samples of everything. There's a solid 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's you fall down a Mike Eberhardt rabbit hole for sure.
Seth, who wrote Project 137, says that my audio narrating is like a movie for your ears.
That's the one that I started listening to, but I got COVID.
Remember that.
When I had COVID and I kept falling asleep and it had nothing to do with the, but I kept going back to listen to it because I was so enamored by it.
Oh, it's
but
great.
Then I just couldn't stay awake for the life of me for anything. I do have to get back to that one. That's all great. Right. Well, okay. Once again, I'm going to say goodbye, but we're always like this.
I know, right?
Thank you very much. And thanks, everybody, from Well Read. We're so excited that you took the time to listen to us and meet Mike Eberhardt. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.